Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the December episode of Banging Book Club, the fortnightly podcast where we read a book about sex or gender each month and talk about it. My name's Lucy Moon.
I'm Hannah Witten.
And I'm Lena Norms.
Ooh!
Yay!
I rarely ever introduce this, so it's quite entertaining to do it.
Good times. I think because me and Lena always volunteer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm volunteer like, tribute. The sevens and the port. What number are you on the Enneagram?
I'm a nine, so I just blend in. I'm a peacekeeper, so I'm just like, yeah. And this month, we read The Price of Salt by, with someone please pronounce, Patricia Highsmith.
Patricia Highsmith.
Cool. Also known as Carol.
Exactly. Which you may have heard of for the Oscar-nominated film.
Starring Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, but more on that in the next episode.
Yeah, so if you're interested in hearing us talk about the film Carol, we will be releasing a podcast about that on Christmas Eve / day.
Mm, yeah, hopefully. So if you don't celebrate Christmas or your family are hella boring, you've got something to do.
I always have loads of time on Christmas, so I'm thrilled.
I don't. Yes. Our Christmas present to you.
Yeah.
If I look like I'm doing something like reading or listening to a podcast, whatever it is, that's not engaging with somebody, they're like, why are you being rude?
It's intense.
Really, it's just our immediate family. Yeah. So like, if you're like me and we don't really see anyone at Christmas, it might be the one for you. Or if you're driving.
Boxing Day.
I'll be at church.
Anyway.
This is my excited face if you hadn't guessed.
So.
Shall we do sound reviews?
Yes.
Let's. Of the book. This is of the book. This episode is about the book if you didn't get that.
I'm just moving my chair over, sorry.
Hello, sorry if you can hear our squeaky chairs.
My sound review is... and that is shortened because I did not make my full way through this book. Disclosed now. I failed to read it. And that's partially because Hannah and I went on this trip to New York for a week.
Yeah.
Where I assumed I'd have time. And we had 12-hour days.
No time.
I couldn't even upload Vlogmas. Like, work didn't get done. So my fault, I should have pre-thought that.
And how far through did you get?
About 25%.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's totally real bad.
I only just finished it, like, this morning as well.
Okay. So I was 30 minutes from the end on the Audible.
Impressive.
You know, that's fine.
See, I drifted in and out of sleep listening to the last 30 minutes. Mm. So maybe we read about the
book. I think this is more about the book than it does about...
This was also... I wasn't moved to finish.
Yeah. So my sound review is... And there was also an eye roll in there, if you were wondering.
My sound review is... You know, like when you're trying to humour somebody at a party?
Yeah. Oh my god, and they're trying to
I want to hear more about your kids!
they're trying to justify reverse racism or something, and you're like...
Someone said to me, like someone we know but I can't remember who, said that it can get a bit boring with like book review podcasts if everyone's always agreeing with each other. And I was like, sometimes we do disagree, like with Man Up, like Lena quite liked it, and then I was like, nope. But this one is going to be one where I think we all agree, but we all didn't like it. And you seem to like those episodes where we don't
unanimous
like nah. That's fine.
Taken from Wikipedia, credit where credit's due. Therese Bellavette is a lonely young woman just beginning her adult life in Manhattan and looking for a chance to launch her career as a theatre set designer. There is so much detail. Right. Therese is a young woman working in a department store. She really wants to be a set designer. That's a bit of subplot.
Yeah, she's there as a Christmas temp.
Yeah, when she was serving customers, a woman called Carol walks in. Obviously, she doesn't know who Carol is at this time, just looks at her and goes, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." Carol then leaves. Oh, no, no, she sends her a Christmas card because she's so enamored by this woman. And then they meet up.
She remembered her address that she wrote on the receipt for when she bought, and then just sent her a random Christmas postcard.
And basically, they embark on an affair of sorts. Obviously, both are in heterosexual relationships.
Carol's going through a divorce, though.
Yeah, Carol's going through a divorce. Do we want to spoil it?
I mean, we always spoil things. Yeah. In the
we
podcast.
Don't recommend you read it.
So then the husband, who is currently going through a divorce with Carol, frames Carol and catches her on a road trip with Therese in order to get full custody of their child. And then Carol has to negotiate that situation.
And because this is set in 1950s New York.
And it was released in like 19...
Good. I'm going 57.
57?
I think.
Published in
1952.
Ah.
There we go.
Okay, can I give you some really interesting backstory on this book?
Yes, because please.
I've just read it and it's made the whole experience more interesting for me. So,
will I like the book more?
Maybe. So, it was originally, you know that she wrote, so Patricia Highsmith, I read, she also wrote The Talented Mr. Ripley, which, like, quite a few, like, famous people are in and in the film, and it's an okay.
Not I didn't, seen isn't it what they based the museum on? Ripley's Museum of Things.
I think so. It's a very, very strange book about a guy who's a mass murderer, and it did really well. But at this point, when she releases this book, she hasn't written that book yet. She's just written Strangers on a Train, which is also a really, really famous book, and it was her first book. Now, she wrote this book.
So is this like the flop of a second book?
No. This book was only released under her name in 1990. Like 45 years, whatever, after it was published.
Is Patricia Highsmith gay?
Patricia Highsmith is gay, or maybe is bi, and only came out in 1990 by publishing this under her own name. She published this under a pseudonym. It was marketed as a mass market paperback book about lesbians, and it was a bestseller, sold a million copies. Nobody knew that it...
What was the pseudonym?
Something really boring. Claire Morgan. And it sold a million copies. It was really popular in US lesbian circles, and it was well known as the only lesbian book that had a happy ending.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because normally in like the 1950s, any kind of media about gay people, like they just die.
Because there's like the Well of Loneliness and all these like seminal texts that were LGBTQ, they all end horrifically.
Yeah.
So it was like a big thing for a lot of the lesbian community. But she kind of also didn't want to come out. The plot thickens because she worked at Bloomingdale's.
A department store
in New York. The reason she was working there as a Christmas temp was because she was trying to pay for therapy to get over her lesbian urges. What the fuck? And then this woman walks in who's beautiful. She falls in love with her. They start an affair. And then it all ends terribly. It's a car crash. And then she breaks up with this woman. She tries to date a guy, gets into a relationship with another woman who's also older and beautiful. One of them, hold on, I'll tell you what happens.
Holy shit.
I know. Don't even start. Wait, I screenshotted it because it was so shocking. Because that's what I do with all screenshots.
The suspense.
Okay, basically, one of them dies from an arsenic. Hold on.
What?
Yeah. Virginia Kent Cathwood died in 1996 at the age of 51. She killed herself from carbon monoxide poisoning. And the other woman also either died tragically or killed herself.
Her two female lovers who
Carol are based on. So she wrote this fucking book about it. And it was tragic at the end. And she brought it to her agent. Her agent was like, I think you should have a happy ending. So she changed the ending to make it happy. Published it as the bestseller. Then she went on to write these huge novels that did really well about mass murderers and sadness. And only in 1990 came out. And then they interviewed her about it on the BBC. And they tried to like get her to talk about her lesbian urges. And she just like, fuck off. Like, she didn't want to talk about it. And she was like, she dismissed it and was like, you know, whatever. It's all about, you know, high society gossip. I don't want to talk about that.
Here's the thing, though. Do we wish we'd known that before going into reading?
Because
then you can't, like, judge the text as a text.
Yeah.
Whereas the story behind it, that's... Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, and also we were talking about we were like all DMing each other, like, why is it called The Price of Salt? Is it like, you know, what's going on? Like, and we were talking about why. So it turns out there is a passage that apparently I kind of missed.
Yeah, we've all managed to miss
about a pinch of salt.
Yeah, so there's the whole like pinch of salt thing. But she basically says, like, Therese is talking about how she's lost Cara from her life at the end of the book and everything's really hard and sad. And she's like, and the song would die one day, she thought, and how would the world come back to life? How would the salt come back? And it's all supposed to be about how, like, the price of having something, the salt, like the thing that makes things taste good and the thing that brings out the goodness in your life.
That makes so much sense, because the price of that for Carol was losing her daughter.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah. And salt was like what we used to trade with instead of money. Back in like the old days.
That's also a good point.
So the price of salt was really valuable.
I was thinking more on like a snow, it was winter, grit, salt on the ground, grit. I don't know, I was really confused.
No, salt in like the Middle East and South Asia was like Central Asia was like a massive trading tool.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. So that's really interesting.
We know more than we did.
We contextualised the author.
So in that, like,
and the title.
I really liked it in some ways because I was like, oh, this is vaguely heartwarming. And I was like, this is a nice love story. And also I think that obviously there was this huge conflict about her being a lesbian, but there was never the author didn't sound like she was like, dun dun dun, they're lesbians. Yeah. She didn't make it a dramatic outing, and
because
it
only
felt so
way,
natural, and it just rolled on.
Yeah, the only way that like the female love was like ever like directly addressed is like Therese has that conversation with her boyfriend being like, have you ever heard of like a boy loving another boy, or like
have you ever fancied a boy
like, and she doesn't frame it as them like, because the way that they talk about it is like, oh, those people, you know, like, oh, I've heard of them, like they're different people, but then she's trying to frame it in a way, be like, no, just like an ordinary person like you or me, who happens to fall in love with somebody. So that's really interesting because of how the, like, the way that they separate behaviour from, like, sexual identity, which...
Quite forward in the 1950s.
Yeah, because it was, like, only the late 19th century that they, like, attached the behaviour to the identity.
And also, women in therapy writing this. Like, therapy to stop her from being gay.
Yeah, well, they put Carol through that as well, wasn't they? But, what was I going to say? What are people's main reasons for not liking it? Because I think mine is, like, twofold. It's, like, one, I actually didn't believe the love, and I think that's because of the way it's written, and then the second thing is the way it's written.
I just want to start by saying I really like the story. Mm. Like, and in the film, I love the film.
If someone had told me, like, the plot points,
I'd be like, that sounds
two
good.
Women meet each other and fall in love, and then they go on a road trip, and she's, like, battling through this divorce case and might lose custody of a child. I'm like, holy fuck, that's intense! Yeah. And then it's just, like, boring.
Yeah.
The book is so boring.
I think it's because you rarely get to be inside the characters' heads, which is why Patricia Highsmith is so good at writing psycho characters. Like Mr. Ripley, you're like, what's happening?
Therese also a psycho character.
Yeah, but they're all like they're kind of devoid of a lot of emotions of themselves, and they're very like empty people. They sound, it kind of like reminds me of how like reading about Daisy and what's his name in The Great Gatsby. It's like also hollow.
And
I didn't like either of the characters. I feel like one of their main things was that there are in things that were like defining features about them was that they were in love with each other.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that Therese liked stage designing. You know, I didn't really get, you know, what their passions were, what their mannerisms were.
The least passionate woman about anything and the most, like, what's the word, like, sorry for herself. Like, I feel like everything
was
a moan.
She was the ultimate, like, pessimist.
Yeah, and just, like, so miserable all the time. And I just can't really relate to characters that are just, like, everything is terrible.
Yeah.
One of the things that frustrated me was I kept on, like, yelling at the book, or the audiobook, being like, Therese, you're not in love with her. It's just infatuation. Like, yes, you fancy her. Because in my head, like, the way that Therese was talking about Carol... Like, also, I just felt like they had no chemistry. Anyway, but the way that she'd talk about Carol, they'd be in a situation, and Therese is, like, observing Carol, and it's all told from Therese's point of view. So it'll be like, Carol thought this about the room, thought Therese. It's like, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know what Carol's thinking. Have you asked her what she thinks about this place? You've known her for a few days and now you're just like...
Now you think you know her.
Yeah. That really bothered me and that just kept happening. And I was like, why are you fucking kidding? kidding me? Like, stop assuming what Carol is thinking. Anyway.
I think that they were both quite unlikable characters. Yeah. So it was hard to empathise because you were like, what are you? I don't know.
But they should have been likable. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. I really liked Teresa's boyfriend up until right at the end. I don't know, Lena, if you got to this bit, but he like writes her a letter and it's like, you're disgusting. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at the beginning he was like, I'm in love with you. This is just a phase. Like, you'll come back. And I don't know. He was like,
I thought he was pressury and weird, but I thought she treated him like shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, she just treated him awfully. Manipulative relationship lady.
Like, yeah.
He was just like a product of like a 1950s man, and I thought he was going to be okay. And then at the end, he like wrote this letter being like, you're disgusting, and like, da 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 da. And I was like, oh God.
I didn't like him, but I think we've all dated somebody like him. I'm like, ah, yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
The constants in life. But yeah, how did you feel about like the kind of older, younger dynamic? Because again, that's something that's very interesting because it's not as predatory or not viewed as predatory when it's two women, because you feel like it's a really unpower dynamic-y relationship.
But I still think there's a power dynamic there because of the age.
Her being like, come on a trip with me, and 19-year-old Therese being like, yes. Like,
there were so many moments in it as well where like they'd be talking and Carol's just calling all the shots. She's like, sit down, walk over there.
It was very Christian Grey.
Because I wonder, that turns people on.
Maybe it was just a very... Yeah, maybe it was just wasn't said explicitly, but Carol was the dom.
Carol could have been a man.
Therese was the sub.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Also in the thing. So apparently they tried to do a movie adaptation of it like in the 70s or something, and they decided to change Carol's character to be called Carl. And they were like... And it bombed.
No.
And they just made it into a heterosexual relationship. Which I don't understand how plot point wise.
What is the plot point? Because it's all about how their sexuality is invalid.
I guess it would just be like an adulterous relationship, and then that's why it's been taken away. But like, insanity.
Wow. That is bad.
But yeah, it kind of reminded me in some ways of, have you seen an Education? Yeah.
I haven't, but...
It's so good.
Is that about a girl falling for a lecturer?
No, it's about this kind of like older guy who could have been a lecturer, I guess, but he's just like a socialite, intelligent, deep guy. And she's like this 16-year-old girl who wants to better herself. It's really, really good.
16-year-old girl?
Yeah, it's really, really young. It's a really interesting film, and it kind of like is in that way, but if the power dynamic was different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do think, I think as you said, like, Carol is dominant, but...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are taking advantage of someone. Mm. And I don't know if this is in the book as well, but doesn't her friend, I can't remember the name of, beginning with A, the friend that Carol used to have the affair with.
Oh, yeah.
Abby. Yeah. Does she say in the book, like, hey, do you know what you're getting yourself into? This is a young girl. Like, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Because she does in the film.
Yeah. Well, you see everything from Teresa's point of view in the book, so you don't know what's going on. Like, all of...
You get the impression that she has, and she also like has a massive talk with Therese and was like, do you know what you're, you know, what are your intentions? How old are you, Carol? How old are you? Do you know what you want?
That's kind of good. So there is a level of responsibility there.
Yeah, definitely.
From the author.
I don't know, I just also feel like then, like, I don't know, the way it's written, you don't feel like you're in the environment. The environment's really cool. I'm like, I would go on a road trip. I would be in New York in the 1950s in winter. And I didn't feel like I was in any of those places. I felt like I was, like, just being led through with these blinkers and just, like, yeah. You know. And Therese doesn't really seem to absorb anything or care about anything.
I think she doesn't seem to care about anything. Does that woman ever come up, the one in the beginning, who fits her with that dress?
Oh, no, but she's really disgusted by her.
Yeah, and she keeps referring to as fat and old and ugly, and
yeah, she describes really a lot of people as so nasty. She does come like, up at the end of the book because they go on the road trip, and then they go somewhere, and Carol persuades Therese to like send her some meat, and then she writes her a really nice letter back, being like, "Thank you for the meat."
Mm. Oh yeah,
I have no idea.
What if that's symbolic of anything?
I'm like, is that symbolic? I don't know.
Look at how nice Therese is, despite slagging this woman off.
But it was Carol that was the one that was like, here you go. But like, so what you were saying about the environment and like the blinkered vision, like, yes, 1950s winter New York, amazing. But I felt like everywhere they went on a road trip, I was like, are they even like being tourists? Are they even like hanging out and like meeting locals and like doing fun shit? Because all I see is them in motel rooms.
Or like they did go hiking with that 70-year-old woman for a week.
Oh yeah.
And like and Therese like hated her.
Mrs. French.
Basically, also just like there's a series of like older women that appear in the book that Therese is disgusted by or repulsed by, and Carol is the only older woman that she kind of likes.
I just really hate this character.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else we have to say about it.
No, I'm a bit worried.
Wait, how are we on?
20 minutes.
Oh, God. That's a lot. Themes. Were there themes?
Relationships. Taboo relationships, in fact. Mm. Oh, my God. Hodge was the most horrible character.
Oh, my God. Hodge, like, stalking her husband. Wife.
God, yeah, that's so sad.
And, like, spying on her. Mm. Oh, not cool, Hodge.
Are you allowed to do that?
Like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal, but I don't know what the 1950s was like.
Can you even believe he was claiming full custody? I remember seeing that and being like, that isn't really, that's so hard to do. But maybe in 1950s New York, men are really powerful
when,
and just able to do that.
Especially when being a lesbian is just like a mental illness. Then they're like, you know, I don't know what she's going to do next. She's kissed a girl.
Yeah. Is he as horrible in the book? Because in the film, he is horrible.
He's horrific in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nasty.
Yeah. But there's real gender themes, like gender and orientation is like...
Yeah, it's definitely like a series of men who are trying to interfere. And also what's quite funny is that when they're in hotels and stuff, there's always people trying to, like, boys trying to chat them up, and they're both like in on an in joke, like...
Do you know what my wife said about it? Mm. He was like, it was a really interesting watch because none of the men are likable. There isn't a single likable man.
I don't think
character.
Any of the women are in it either, yeah. To be honest.
But, you know, I think in the film they are, whereas in the book, like in both stories, there is not a man that is a good man.
What about the one who's like into theatre, and I think in the film he's into photography, who like helps her get into her career.
Even then he tries to kiss her.
No, but they swapped those characters around, so in the book it's Phil that helps her with her career and stuff.
Yeah. That was so confusing
and
to me.
And Danny was the one that kissed her, which was weird.
Yeah, but like, it's weird anyway, because he's like, he kisses her and then she does the whole thing of not responding. She's the most unresponsive person ever. Oh, I hate those. I'm watching a series as well at the moment where the main character just doesn't respond to stuff. I'm like, silence can only tell so much of a story. Yeah.
But if we're annoyed at that, so imagine like spending all that time with that person, because there's even that line in it where Carol's just like, what are you thinking? You have no idea how many times I ask you that.
Is that? Oh my God.
Stop making me get you to tell me.
Which I thought was really interesting, because I was like, yeah, what is she thinking?
It's just clearly infatuation. I bet their relationship didn't even last.
Mm. But that's the thing, like, when you spent, they were on the road together for like weeks. And you are attracted to each other. They'll develop feelings. They'll probably like feel like these really heightened emotions, and like maybe it's love. But I just think that the way that it was written, I did not get that. Like, I understand if you like put two people like on the road together for 3 weeks, they'll fall in love. I'm like, that is believable. I believe that as a concept, but I didn't believe it specifically in this, because I was just like, I don't see the chemistry, like nothing.
Guys, the sex. We completely forgot to talk about
Oh, yeah, this is banging book club.
Like, being all about gender and
it was all very ethereal. the first time. It took like halfway through the book for them to like have sex, but it just like, yeah.
Makes sense in a
it
way.
It wasn't very explicit, but I guess maybe it couldn't be.
What was it like?
It was more just like,
tell me.
It was more like they dissolved into each other like waves on the sand. It wasn't that, but it was that. You know, it was that kind of like.
Like you wouldn't
they
use
They tumbled
that.
Into another consciousness.
Yeah, you wouldn't use that as a how-to guide.
If you did, you'd like start rubbing your forehead against somebody else's and hoping it worked.
Like, am I doing it?
Am I doing it right?
Yeah, if you want to know how to have like lesbian sex, then watch Stevie Bobby's YouTube series, Lesbian Sex 101. Like, would recommend.
But was it saucy? Like, there can be you know, nipple everywhere sex, but it not be like hot. It'd be informative, or there can be like nipple everywhere sex. It's like,
I was bored, to be honest.
It wasn't very long. Yeah. Like, the build-up was a lot, and then it was a paragraph of, like, euphemisms.
Yeah, it was a paragraph of euphemisms for the first time I had sex, and then you didn't, and then you just kind of have to assume that they're still sleeping together, but you just don't ever see it again.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Something weird that I did, like, really like in it was this part where Richard, who's her boyfriend, makes this beautiful kite, because he's an artist.
Yeah.
And then they go to fly the kite, and they have loads of fun flying the kite, and then he's like, oh, I want to see the kite go higher, I'm going to cut the string. And she gets really upset about
it.
She
cries.
And
she's
like,
no!
She cries, which is a bit
She's like, it's so beautiful, why would you?
And then she, like, does this little thought in her head about how he doesn't really value the kite because he can make another one, and you only value stuff that you can't make again. And I guess if I was going to stretch that metaphor, I'd be like, Carol just came into her life. She didn't work for this relationship and she didn't like do anything. It just came and she doesn't really understand it. And she doesn't want to lose it because she doesn't know if she can ever have it again. Because this like moment of like, oh, fireworks. Whereas, and then I was thinking about relationships and being like, I think you feel more secure in a relationship when you've built it rather than it just comes into your life in this big romantic way.
Also,
like, she came into my department store and I knew.
Also,
I don't know if I'm really stretching that metaphor.
But that is a stretch, but also I feel like you feel more secure in relationships when you've maybe had a few and you're older than 19.
I was gonna say, it's not your first.
Because then you know that, like, you're like, oh, I felt love then, and then it didn't. But then I managed to feel it again.
Yeah, and I survived a breakup. Yeah.
I think that would be a metaphor for Richard as well, because Richard's been in, what, like, three relationships? Well, no, he's fucked three women.
Yeah, that's what he said.
But yeah, she talks a bit about the sex in the book, that, like, she had sex with Richard once and just hated it and was all tense and there was blood. Did you catch that at the beginning? And I was like, that's sad. Yeah.
I think they tried to have sex, like, three times, and it was basically described as what I imagine, like, heterosexual people like trying to have sex for the first time without any education or communication about desire and pleasure and like what it's supposed to feel like and how to make each other comfortable in that moment. Like it just felt like
something you should do.
Yeah, exactly. And like then like she just was not into it.
Part of the reason she breaks up with him is because she's like thinking in her head like, oh, because I was his first, now he thinks he's got it. Now he thinks he owns me.
Yeah, that's
and
so
like,
true.
Was so like, was just looking at him doing something and being like, "Oh, he's taking everything for granted because he doesn't think I'd leave him because I lost my virginity to him."
Yeah.
Oh, which is probably like
you know, 1950s like spoiled goods or whatever.
She does say that she's like, "Oh, like everyone has sex." Like you always hear about people having sex in like our friendship group and our town. She's like, "That seems quite normal in New York. That not that people have sex like once and then feel ashamed. You know, they don't talk about it." Yeah, but it is well known that when you start dating someone, sometimes you'll slip up and have sex.
Yeah. Why did they give her a tragic backstory?
Did
Patricia
Highsmith
have that kind of
upbringing? Yeah, I was wondering, because I think it was to eliminate all other characters so she could go on the road trip.
So she didn't have to tell her parents.
They blocked
that.
Well,
it's a kind of like classic, like any children's story, the kid is always an orphan because that's when all the fun happens. Because you don't have any parents. Matilda, James and the Giant Peach, like make sure
any Disney film.
Yeah, any Disney film.
Also a great way to introduce antagonists.
Yeah, that's true. Let me see if I can find if her parents died.
So I sent Lucy and Lena a quote from the book in our little chat. Because I was really not enjoying reading it, and then I just heard this sentence in my head, and I was like, this epitomises why. And it was just, I'm going to try and do the reader's voice. Mm-hmm. It was all things, and it was one thing, like a solid door. What does that mean?
It means
nothing. What the fuck does that mean? And there were so many things like that throughout the whole book, and I was just like, maybe to some people they're like, this is pure poetry, it's so meaningful, and I feel it. And I was just like, no, she's just put words together that have nothing to do with each other.
If you want gifts.
Like a fucking solid, I'm sorry.
Right. If you want beautiful writing from an LGBTQ plus, I think, genderqueer woman, I could be completely wrong about that, who writes about love in the most beautiful way, check out Andrea/Andrew Gibson.
Oh,
because they do the most beautiful writing about love and it makes me cry every time. So if you're looking for that,
good rec, Lucy.
Yeah, oh my god, this is not that. If you are looking for things about relationships between two women or genderqueer people, I'm not sure how she identifies now, but when I was reading her, they identified as a woman. It's just beautiful. It's just the most beautiful stuff I've ever read. So yeah, do that.
What books?
I'd recommend The Madness Vase.
Okay.
That's like the best.
The Madness
Vase. Oh.
We'll leave that info in the description. Editing Lucy.
Yes, I will leave that info or on our Twitter.
Yeah.
It will be somewhere. But honestly, like, you can't really get the romance in The Price of Salt, I don't think, in the same way.
Yeah. Just made me feel a bit Christmassy though.
Yeah, I'm like ready. Also, like, me and we all three of us actually just got back from New York as well.
Yeah.
So look at us all.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to read it in New York, and then there was just
no time.
No, we literally got like half an hour lunches, and I'd be like, I can't even crack out an edit in this. Got enough time to have a wee and eat some food.
And then the day that me and Lucy left New York, the day after, it started snowing.
But no one can get back now.
About it. But flights have been cancelled, so we didn't have our flights cancelled. And it meant that we could be here today to record this podcast for you.
It's beautiful, guys.
Literally, what the fuck else do we say about this shit book?
It wasn't holy shit. Like, the story, I think, is really nice.
I wasted 9+ hours listening to this
book. I didn't listen to it on double speed. I only wasted 4.5, so
fair enough.
Now what's the price of salt?
Yeah.
Not price today.
I really liked the story, and if you're gonna absorb this story in any particular way, watch the film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we're gonna be talking about on our next minisode.
Yeah. And that'll be the Christmas one, so
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We're giving you the better year. Bit.
This podcast is like the depressing bit, like just before Christmas, where you're like, fuck, I've not done my shopping, why is everything Christmassy?
Yeah, you're like, oh. So for me, I hate Christmas music. I'm just like, oh, I hate Christmas music.
I really like the Ariana Grande one. Santa, tell me if you really care.
If you could see my face right now, it's deadpan.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I'm surprised that wasn't my most listened to song of 2017 on Spotify.
I don't use Spotify, so I'm sad that I didn't get to do that. So I'm now going to use Spotify.
Oh, yeah. How many hours did you listen to?
Oh, like thousands. I don't know. I haven't got the thing on my...
I know I listened to 32,000 hours of music.
Oh my God.
How on earth?
That's like your thing, though.
Yeah, music is my thing. But there were some people that listened to like 101,000 hours. And I was like, that's like your whole year. Every day that you work, 9 to 5, you play ambience. Like, anyway, I think that's all we have to say about this, to be honest. Let us know if you liked The Price of Salt.
Yeah, this
is
a thing.
Why? Because, like, as I said, I like the story. I think the writing's painful.
Yeah.
The characters are painful. And, like, it's everything but the actual narrative.
Great narrative. Bad characters and execution.
Yeah. However, if you tune in next week, we will be talking about the film, which I suspect will be slightly more positive.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for cheery us, that's the one to listen to.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Next, we're reading The Power by Naomi Alderman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah, January.
I'm really excited about that.
Our,
I'm so ready for the dystopian excitement.
Our 2018 reading list is now up. It'll be, like, linked in the description, and it's also linked on our Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big old Google Doc that you can take a look at, and my favourite thing to do is be on the Google Doc and seeing all of the avatars and be like, oh, look at all these people who are also live on the Google Doc. This is exciting. I really want to, like
right
see the stats. Is there a place where you can see stats for Google Docs?
And also, by the time this podcast goes out, we will have had our London event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so woo, if you came so to that, thanks for coming.
We had a really good time, I'm sure. I hope everyone
I better get cocktails all down myself.
Yeah, I bet. Like, oh, we also filmed a video on Hannah's channel just now. And I don't know when that goes live. But it's just really funny. We had to bet who was going to be what on a New Year's party, which is effectively what
that's
our
going
live
the same day as this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called? It's You.
Yeah, that's the PlayStation game. It's You.
That's you, I think.
That's you.
Because then Lena started singing, "That's Not Me."
Act like a waste nun, that's not me. Love which it. Is very, it's a big
that's
stretch.
True, actually, I think.
We're all really white.
Yeah.
Lena anyway. Had dreadlocks once.
That's not. Why, Hannah?
Like one dreadlock.
One time. I didn't know.
In fairness, none of us knew.
Before you awoke.
Yeah. Right. Enough of these shenanigans. Let's wrap up this podcast. Is there anything else you want to push? Let's do Banging Book Club Twitter because we love it.
At Banging Book Club, follow us.
Yeah.
Would we have sex with this book?
No.
No. Yeah, I'm good.
I
would like... No,
you get really hurt in the process. Do you know what I mean? Like, the aftermath is not worth the road trip.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
tragic.
And the like discrimination. Like, I don't really fancy that.
Go on your own lesbian road trip. Don't read the book. Just go on your own one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm right about it.
With someone stable and not in a marriage,
without a gun.
Without a gun.
Without a gun. Yeah, without a gun that isn't like in your name on the license. Like that's just rookie error. If you're maybe if you're a rich white woman, you're fine.
Wait, did she... Sorry. What?
In the book, she has a gun, but it's her husband, Harge, has the license to the gun. And so I don't know what the rules are in all the different states they were travelling in, but that is pretty iffy if you are not the owner.
Okay. It's good to know America has very, very thin gun control.
We're not. I'm not.
Let's not get into that.
Right.
Woo.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Follow our book club on Twitter and...
Oh my
Listen.
God, would we have sex with this book?
We just did that. We said no.
Oh. Did I say no?
What did you say?
You just literally, you were kind of glazed over then. I don't know if you were listening.
I was thinking about Patricia Highsmith and how sad it was that she couldn't come out.
Oh.
So would you have sex with the book though?
No.
There we go.
Sorry,
please keep
Patricia.
All of that in.
Yes. That's all staying. Yeah, follow us on Twitter. Do all the things. Look out for us on Christmas Day. We love you.
Bye.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.